You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Okay, guys, you're in the live stream. I just facilitated your move.
Good job.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on fakeologist.com.
Well, that was well-timed. So,
it was really well-timed.
And not so Freemason. Yous were chatting away in room 11 and I came across yous and I moved yous into the live stream. So work away, lads. I'll just say that, where are we now? We're on the 21st of September and we're in the live stream on fakeologist.com in a Discord audio chat. So work away, lads.
Oh, well, thank you, Delcroix. Yeah, we were just having a good conversation in room 11, wondering what the hell was happening with this Discord blowing up tonight. So that was pretty interesting. Thank you, Delcroix, for coming in and saving the day and ixnaying that troll. Much appreciated. He was blowing us all up.
The past couple of days, there's just been sort of porn bombing and all sorts of weird stuff going on, but sure, that probably goes along with the territory.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right.
I'm sure it could be worse, I suppose, you know. They're not that frequent.
That's good.
Yeah.
What's the new thing with the arrows I've been seeing too? You know what that is?
I don't know, man. I think that's something to do with Discord. I think it's a feature and I think Ab turned it on and people are just appearing then with arrows instead of, you know. But I don't know what the story is with them, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
And
so for everyone listening in, initially, Not So Freemason and I, and this is Heroes, I was wanting to begin a chat that was follow the money chat, because I'm really, really interested, I was listening to one of the podcasts where John Laban was speaking with Ab, and Ab had mentioned something about the CIA, like challenging, is there really a CIA? I mean, are there really agencies? And it just got me thinking the rest of the day. I was thinking about NASA and nukes and the ISS and stock market crashes and the FBI and CIA. And I was like, man, is there not any research possibilities to be able to just follow the money? And because somebody somewhere, if they're not investing, if these things aren't real, and I'm not saying they all aren't real, but if they're not real, then somewhere, somehow, there's some people with some big-ass mansions out there on islands, and maybe there are a lot of little Epstein islands. I don't know. But so anyway, we were talking about that a little bit, and then Not So Freemason shared a personal story in the private room was very interesting.
Room 11, and then Dell appeared then at that stage in the middle of that.
Yeah, Dell appeared. And so he finished the story, and if I may, Not So Freemason, it had to do with an arrest. And I just joked that, well, you know, I'll share with you a little about my felonious arrest, you know, later. And then we were just talking and I said, well, mine has to do with a $5,000 pizza. And that's when, we moved over to live audio chat. So, just warning for everyone, this has nothing to do with fakeology. So, if that would disappoint you, then sorry, but I'll make it quick. But I had lived in Richmond, Virginia, and it was in August, and I was going out for a run in the middle of, it was like 4 p.m. in the afternoon. It was just hot as balls. And I wanted to cheat and come back through a tunnel to my house. There's a little tunnel under a road because I just wanted to take like a mile off the run. And I came to the to the tunnel, and there are, I don't, like maybe 20 kids that are like goth, with, you know, piercings everywhere, you know, pink hair, purple hair, black attire. And the tunnel was spray painted, and there were all these candles, and they were just all sitting there bummed out, like crying. And I just stopped, and I'm like,
a placebo convention.
Yeah, like a placebo convention. And I stopped, and I'm like, guys, what's going on? And they said that one of their best friends the night before had an issue with his dad, and he came and took a rope, and he hung himself off of the overpass to this tunnel. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And my heart just went out to these kids. And I'm, you know, it just kind of shocked me. And I ended up just running back home. And I was thinking on the way home, I'm like, God, it feels like 100 degrees out here. These kids, you know, they're going to get dehydrated. So I just bought a 24-pack of bottled water. And I put it in the car, and I drove it back, and I went in there, and I said, hey, guys, you know, please, please, please take these and stay hydrated. I mean, just be safe. And I have to tell you, I had a little pang, a big pang in my heart, because my brother had committed suicide. And so I had it just kind of personally impacted me. And so as I was walking out of the tunnel, I heard this kid say, dude, can you believe it? We were just talking about being parched, and this dude shows up with water. Dude, and that just brought a smile to my face. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go a step beyond here. I'm gonna drive down, and I'm gonna get a couple of extra large pizzas, and I'm gonna take it back, and I'm gonna give them paper plates and trash bags. And I did. I took it into the tunnel. And I said, hey, guys, you know, I think you're going to be here a while. You got some hydration. Here's some pizzas, paper plates. Do me a favor. Just please put it in the trash bags. And then later I'll come and pick it up. So that was the end of the story. The next day I go running again, and I come back into the tunnel, and there was this girl who was crying, who was saying that one of the neighbors had said they were going to call the police because these kids were, they had spray painted the tunnel. And so I talked to the kids, and I said, hey guys, I have an idea. How about, would you all agree? And perhaps your parents will contribute, but I'll help. I said, let's set a date in a few weeks. Grieve, do your thing, but let's set a date to where we come and repaint this tunnel back to the original color, and it'll be kind of like a, you know, just a day of joy. And let's release the sadness, and because I've been there, I know, and it touched them so much. And this one girl in particular, she had already written in the pizza box a note, to me, and she gave it to me at that point that said, you know, you were so kind. Thank you. It was, and all the kids signed it. So then I went home, and I'm like, you know what? Screw the neighbors. This pisses me off. You know, these kids, it was a woman in the neighborhood who, why are you getting your panties in a wad over this? These kids are grieving. Their friend died. They're freaking, you know, 17 years old. They're seniors. So I went home, and I wrote on my letterhead, and I put my business card on it, and I posted it in the tunnel, and I said, dear neighbors, friends, and police, here's what happened. These kids lost a best friend. They're grieving. They didn't vandalize this place, even though by definition they did, but they're just, because it was like, they were just writing, you know, I can't even remember the boy's name, but like, let's just say it was Don. It's like, Don, we miss you. We love you, all of this. And so I said, I said on my note in the PS, I said, so relax, grab a can of spray paint, because I'd explained that we were going to repaint the whole thing in on like the 27th of the month. I said, relax, grab a can of spray paint and get in touch with your inner tag. Smiley face. The next day, I had police officers come to my home and arrest me on felony charges of aiding and abetting teenagers in the destruction of public property. And long story tolerable, it ended up costing me $5,000 in attorney's fees to get out of it, and I lost a whole summer. And so that's why I refer to it as my $5,000 pizza. Okay, so onto the ball earth skepticism. Kidding. So that's my story, guys. Fuck the cops. It was nuts. It was, oh, and the worst thing was, not worse or best, but here I am. I just gotten back from work. I'm in a suit when they arrest me. And they take me in. And so then it's one of these holding cells to where they handcuff you and they foot cuff you. And then they cuff both of them in a chain to these hard, you know, seats. And you're in there with all the other folks that have been arrested, and booked. And, there was this one guy that they came in who was really violent, and he was so mad, and he was like slamming his elbows against the wall, slamming them again. Every time a cop would go by, he would lunge at him.
Why were they so angry with some graffiti? See, this is the thing. And I know it's 2020 hindsight is a great thing.
Sure.
But
weren't
they sort of all gathering because of a memorial for a young fella who was dead?
Yes. It's exactly what the worst part, screw me and my issues. These kids were 17 and some of them were 18 years old. The cops descended on all of them and 11 of them who were 18 got arrested on the same felony charges. Imagine. You just lost a dear friend.
Because you said that people complained or someone was complaining about the artwork. That what I was saying was that if they portrayed, because you were there and you appeared and you said you were trying to help them.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little sign up, a memorial for the young fella who you know, passed away.
Yep.
And we're doing a memorial in the tunnel for him and make it like a thing where someone who's complaining would, you know, the cops should be there sort of just policing the thing as everybody is coming to, you know what
to
I mean?
To give, you know, you're right. It was a memorial. I mean, they had candles. They had guitars in there. They were just totally innocent. I mean, my gosh, we all remember when we were that young and impressionable. And
but it's a spontaneous thing as well, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Yet it's dealt with a hard hand in the atmosphere, which was created because of the likes of September 11th. You know, that's what we're witnessing there, or what you were witnessed yourself, is the...
Yeah, very good, very good, very good time.
For the fucking hoax and bullshit, you know?
Right. And the whole thing was, I mean, it was going to, with all the paint and everything, maybe it would cost, I mean, with, even if you hired it done, maybe it would cost $1,500 in paint or whatever, but less, because, you know, we were all going to provide the labor. And I was thinking, you know, it'll be so refreshing for these. It'll be a new beginning for them, right? They'll be able to have a new birth out of that freaking.
They didn't come out of a vacuum. They're part of the community.
That's right. That's right. But they didn't look the right way.
Soros for some sort of a psyop, because if they were, they wouldn't have been arrested.
Yeah. But these 11 kids, these 11 kids who were arrested, who just turned 18, do you know how their worlds were spun upside down? Because then you talk about trying to get into, you have applications into university or college and you have to explain a felony, or if you every, you know, and believe me, everybody ended up getting off, because by the time it got to the prosecutor of the county, he threw it all out. But we had all spent a lot of money on attorney's fees, believe me, you know, but it was so ridiculous. And I'd gone on a radio show because this radio host invited me on because he heard the story and he was like just astonished, and that helped a lot, because the whole city of Richmond was just blowing up the prosecutor's phones. Like, I can't believe it. So that was, you know what? It ended up that people spent money, but nobody ended up with a felony on their record. It was uncomfortable. I mean, it was so uncomfortable. But the best part of it, and why Not So Freemason, when you were telling me your story, or sharing with me your story about kind of the synchronicity of it all, how it just was almost surreal to you, I almost think I was put in this position for one specific reason, which was when I was in my suit in that holding cell, and this really dangerous guy comes in and he starts smashing his elbows and lunging at the police. When there were no police officers in there, I go, "Hey, dude, what's your name?" He looks at me and he goes, "Jason." And by the way, I forgot to tell one important part. They brought this girl in who was in basically, you know, a long t-shirt with no bra, no anything. You could tell that she was like really young, and she was probably a hooker or something. So she was right next to me, and I was talking over her to this boy, Jason. And I said, "Are you open for some feedback?" and he was like, just like shaking it, like, "What?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "You know what? I can tell you're going to be here for 72 hours. That's obvious. It's going to be a lot easier on you to be here for 72 hours if you don't have a broken elbow because you're hitting the wall." I said, "Do me a favor. When the next time you want to lunge at a police officer or you want to smash your elbow, just tell yourself this one thing. It's urgent to do nothing. It's urgent to do nothing." And it impacted him, but the girl next to me started bawling, and she was like, "I needed to hear that." And so I think that was the whole purpose of me being there, was to be able to give that little one liner, so that's the $5,000 pizza, guys.
Nice. Yeah.
How did you come across fakeology in your journey?
Yeah. So,
you're
a good question.
You put a caveat in there for your story that it wasn't fakeology, but like, you know, so.
Yeah. So I arrived at fakeology because you know how this whole community works. It's like all of a sudden you get one breadcrumb, which takes you to another breadcrumb, which takes you down the rabbit hole. And then all of a sudden you have the truth switch that comes on for something. And for me, it was about the moon landing hoax was where it first began. And then I had somehow come across this guy named Johnny Cerucci and his podcast Resistance Rising. And I just listened into it. And then he referenced in one of his podcasts, Fakeology.com. And then so I searched for Fakeology, and Johnny was interviewed by Ab. And, you know, Johnny is all about the path of everything leads back to the Jesuit Rome. And so then I was going on vacation and I decided I really liked that interview. I'm going to delete every frickin' thing on my iPod and I'm going to download every Fakeology podcast. And that's what I'm going to listen to because I was putting in a lot of hours on the vacation of driving, but then it was raining in Western North Carolina the whole week. So I just listened. I just binge listened, and I just found myself a couple of things. I found myself really admiring all of the people who were engaging. I loved Ab's interview style, and I found that I believed most of what everybody else believed, if not all of it. I think the only place where I may diverge is I don't think Jesus stayed dead. I believe in, you know, the God of the Bible. And just as an FYI, I published a website called iloveatheists.com, just not their worldview. And it deals with the top 100 challenges to Christianity. So I guess for me, I think probably the biggest alleged hoax is that, you know, Jesus died on the cross and he rose. And so that's why I dedicated a good bit of my life and research to addressing all of the challenges to the Christian faith. And they may convince or they may not. I really don't think they're convincing to somebody who doesn't believe. And I stopped trying to argue people into faith a long, long time ago, but I have my own body of research that I think, you know, would at least earn, you know, my keep around here that I do research and I do publish, so, you know, I think my biggest claim to fame in this life is that I was a really good swimmer and I outswam 28 million competitors to my mother's ovum. And here I am in Fakeology.com. And I don't even really know how, but I love it. I just love it.
You're the Mark Spitz of Fakeology.
I'm the Mark Spitz of semen. Yeah.
Well, listen, man, it's Fakeologist. It's not Fakeology.com. It's
Fakeology. I'm sorry. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. Good catch.
You're not the only one who refers to it like that, but.
Right.
Lip of tongue or something. But, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I love debate. I love, you know, engaged debate. And, like, I just loved hearing, Unreal and Kaham go at it when they did about EGI. And it's like, I just so respect both, you know, from listening to all the podcasts. And then you start, you know, hearing John LeBond and all of these others who are just, you know, absolutely brilliant in their thinking. And what I have appreciated most about Ab is that, man, he invites everyone and any opinion, but at the end of the day, he holds to his own. And I love that. I love that he assesses and he's not afraid to say no, you know.
he's a cool dude that he provides a platform.
Right.
He's also an avid audio guy. So I get where he's coming from, you know, and he's got the patience of fucking patience.
A saint.
And I'm not going to go into interdenominationals and start saying or whatever, but you know what I mean. He,
of course,
play to him. So that's why I, you know, admire
and check how it. About you? How about you, Del? How did you arrive? Fakeologist.com.
And I've been there. I was looking for stuff like that, you know.
Okay. How many years ago? From the beginning?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, my goodness. And how many years is that now?
Was it 4 or 5 years ago?
Wow. And so you...
I would have to just really think about it, but just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Long time. And it was like I came across Ab when he was doing some of his really early shows. It was Waking Up with Ab. And he had a talk.
Wow.
And at the same time, I was posting stuff. Like, I had my own radio thing going.
Oh, you did? Well, you have a good radio voice, man.
Well, it was just outside radio. It was just my own thing. It's nothing to do with any other fucking thing. I've been there and done that, you know. And
right.
When Freeman on the Land and all that stuff started up years ago in Ireland, ENS Radio, that's where I learned, you know, create your own little radio station, you know. It's quite simple, you know. It's not like when you hear all these people say, oh, donate to keep us going because we're trying, you know. It's literally, if you already have an internet connection and like a hobby, you know.
Yeah.
You can just do it, you know.
Right, right. And so when you initially began, you were just doing your own thing through your own, you know, internet connection, but was it you and anyone else, or was it you just going stream of consciousness and sharing with anyone out there who would find you?
It was always like, when you say stream of consciousness, it's always like each individual has their stream of consciousness,
and sure,
they're taking in what they're seeing around them, you know. And then, you know, listening to Alex Jones and all that back in the day, you know.
Yeah. Oh, he was God for a while.
All conspiracies and everything else.
Right.
Yeah. And like what I was saying, you know, like radio, and like in the best tradition of Irish people, they end up splitting off into different groups. And then there was like TNS radio. Then there was Awake radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got fed up of all this bullshit, and I just said, I'm doing my own. I'm outside radio. I'm outside of all this bullshit.
That's
from now on.
Awesome. And so what were the initial topics that when you went on your own that you really were of interest to you?
It was everything, man. Right.
Okay. Current events or?
That stage, man, 9/11
okay.
Already shown as a fucking, you know, TV movie and bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I was already, you know, after seeing stuff like the moon landings and everything else, like, you know, even before the internet, you know, the likes of the moon landings, you know, total bullshit as far as I was concerned. And that was just like, when you think about it, like taking it up from the mainstream at the time, or the alternative mainstream, you know.
So
at the same time,
you were suspect of, you were suspect of all of that. You were suspect of all of that before the internet.
Yeah.
Del?
Yeah. Can you not hear me? Yes,
no,
I was.
It's going into it. I mean, I admire that was the case. I reverse engineer my life and I'm like, why in the hell did I not even think about that stuff? It was like they said open and they spoon fed it to me, and I never had any critical thought.
I came across in Patriot Radio on shortwave.
Oh.
On a small little radio, an ordinary radio that had shortwave. And I mm-hmm. came, and it depended on the weather and it depended on the time of night. I used to hear ads for Alex Jones, and you'd hear little snippets. Blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah. New World Order's coming to get you. Blah, tune in, you know.
I've got the documents.
Yes. This is before I had the internet, before I had a computer. About the other people, It was a man and woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your man was some sort of a pastor or something. I can't remember their names. And your one was a nurse, right?
Mm.
But he brought out a film, In Plain Sight or something, and he was going on about, you know, the planes. He was still pushing the idea of planes, but there was some sort of pod underneath them with explosives, you know, all that stuff.
Right.
I was hearing that on shortwave radio. Right, David Kleiss, right, or David von Kleiss, or
okay.
Van Kleiss, he brought out that thing In Plain Sight, and it was kind of like, it was, yeah, what you'd hear on the shortwave radio would be that kind of American patriot stuff, and
right,
anti-UN, and the Pope is the Antichrist, and all that
right.
kind of stuff, right? And I'd be listening to that over here in Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with you know, after that, like, you know, hearing that, I was trying to find that movie Loose Change, because I heard an ad for that on the shortwave.
Mm-hmm.
I started like searching for these movies, and then I just decided to go and get a computer and start researching.
Wow.
You know? That is a weird one, but it's true. You know, that's my fucking story.
Wow, that's and then you stumbled upon Ab.
Ab was like bloody ages later, you know.
Oh, he was okay. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
I'm not going to bore everyone with all my story, because it's already out there and it's already on various audios, you know, on Ab's site.
Right. It's
more like, tell us about yourself, you know.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said, tell us about yourself.
Oh, myself. Okay. If this bores anyone, because I was on a podcast with Ab a few days ago, I am, you know, the youngest of six kids from Catholic family, grew up, you know, business father, went to college, you know, was raised Catholic, but once I left, I put it in the rearview mirror.
Whereabouts are you, man?
I'm from the Midwest, so I hail from a small town, Goodland, Kansas, and was there till I was 12, and then we moved to Iowa. So you're talking breadbasket of America, and went to high school there, and then went to University of Iowa, where I majored in finance. And then I never did anything with my finance degree, but I was always a good communicator, salesperson, fairly strategic thinker. And I got a really good job out of college, and it was one where you went through training, and it was 6 months of training, but you didn't know where you were going to end up across the United States, because all of the area managers, they'd end up doing a draft at the end of your training, and they would kind of bid on you. And so the guy who ran Florida, he got me, and so they moved me down to Tampa, Florida, and that's where I kind of began my adult life, and ended up just having a really good career. It's kind of like those were the days to where it was like you could do nothing wrong as far as generating income, and it was just kind of the living the dream. And then I got recruited by this company that is out of Manhattan, who is just a group of serial entrepreneurs. And I'm sure you're aware of a company, Priceline.com. But I was hired by the company that incubated Priceline.com. So it was a different company, but in one of our rooms, you know, we put a server, and all of a sudden, you know, we had a business. And that grew like crazy. You know, it was just very good season in my life. And I just kind of thought my tree didn't grow to the sky, or I thought my tree grew to the sky, and I thought I could go out on my own and do my own thing, which I did. I took the entrepreneurial path and started a business that had to do with taking people's photographs and bringing them in, pulling them into a computer, and I had some technology called DigiBrush technology to where I could assign them to artists where they would paint the picture in the computer, and then when we output them on canvas, they'd carry the look and feel of original oil paintings, but for, you know, a fraction of the cost of having, you know, a real painter.
I've come across in my journey a website that does that.
Yeah, sure. They
run with it, like, you know. It's yeah.
Yeah.
The one was a bit more advanced in it because it was a bit dodgy looking, you know.
Yeah. Well, mine was called Premium Photo Gifts, and there were lots of different outputs from the photography that, like, you know, whether it would be a throw blanket, a woven blanket, or canvas, or, you know, just lots of different crap that you could repurpose a photo that on. And I don't know if you're aware, but over here in the States, there's a company called QVC, which is Home Shopping Channel. And it's just
part of it.
What's that?
I've heard of it, yeah. The QVC. Yeah,
you've heard of it. Okay. So at the height of my business, I was on QVC a lot. I had three, they call them today's special values, which there are only 365 of those a year. That's where they promote you for a full 24 hours.
The infomercial dude.
Yeah. But to play with QVC, even though prior to launching that business, I'm not rehinging my shoulder and patting myself on the back because there's a later part to this story. But, you know, I had become a multimillionaire and I just had always, you know, betted on myself. And so there came a point in time where we were getting into these today's special values to where I had to leverage everything I owned against the inventory. Because QVC won't promote you unless you have the inventory to back up the demand. And, that was, 2007, and then 2008 hit and the world went to shit and nobody then was buying anything premium. And I ended up losing my business, went from multimillionaire to bankrupt in a period of four months. So my every measure of a man was just ripped away from me. And, long story tolerable. It's taken me 10 years to kind of rebuild my life. I went back to the original company that I worked for because I've always been their sales and biz dev guy and they were happy to have me back. And I'm grateful that they were there. And so was just able to kind of take my tail, tuck it between my legs, say I took a swing at entrepreneurialism and woofed. And, you
took the roller coaster and you fucking were the driver of it.
Yeah. And there was, man, it was quite a, you know, quite a ride, quite a season. And, I ended up after filing bankruptcy, I ended up going to some pretty dark places. And, all I can say is that, I'm still here today, but there was some points and times in my life to where I didn't necessarily want to be here because I thought I would be for my family, because I had so much life insurance, I thought I'd be worth more dead than alive. And, but I never acted, in my mind by the grace of God, but, I was close. And so, I'm at a point now to where I work for the amazing set of entrepreneurs that you know, were so good to me. And I'd like to think that my assets as a sales and business development guy are good for them. I generate, you know, good business for everyone around and have rebuilt my world to where I'm not by any means, wealthy like I was at one point, but you know, I'm not worried about the bills at the end of the month. And now I actually have the time to do my job, but because I don't bear the burden of all of the other things that comes within, you know, with making lots of money, because people don't think about that. Like my CEO, he has one of the largest homes in the Hamptons and you know, 35,000 square foot home, but
yeah, the scoreboard is fucking vast and it's checkered, yeah, black and white squares.
And you know what's amazing? It's like when you get to a point to where, you know, you're worth a lot of money, but you're depressed because your illionaire doesn't start with a B, it starts with an M. You know, that's pretty sad sack stuff, you know? But I'm telling you, I've been on the other side, but I love a simple life now. And maybe that's just, you know, reverse psychology and internal justification, but I'm telling you, I don't think so. Because if you handed me the other side again, I would know what came with it. And I like being able to have some time to engage with fakeologist.com, and, you know, with the pressure. I mean, when you have that pressure on you to where you're always on and you kind of don't have that quiet to be able to just kind of explore some other things in your life, you just have one speed, man, and it's full steam ahead on what you're doing. And, you know, I do my job, but, I'm able to, I don't know if I consider this a hobby. I guess maybe it's a hobby. But I'm very interested in, you know, hoaxes and everything that is offered by Ab and you and the rest of the community here.
It, what I started doing as well, but 2013 was, you know, A View from the Bog, which was part of my outside radio. But like when you just go onto Blogger and sign up, you say, what's the name of your, and you know, A View from the or outside radio. And
yep.
What would you like to call your blog? And A View from the Bog. So hence it's, you know, it's got one Earl, but a different name, but yet because it's like, well, oldish enough now, is 4 years on the go. If you Google A View from the Bog or if you Google outside radio, they both kind of converge. And basically what I was doing there was just sharing what I was coming across on the internet in audio form, sometimes articles, sometimes, but mainly then, you know, for the past, say, 2 years or so, it would be just audios and YouTube.
Right.
It'd actually convert the YouTube things into audios and upload them to my own account on the Kiwi. And, you know, they're great because you can actually have a sort of a hot link so that you can put the URL address into a play bar. HTML, and people will just see it on the blog, you know, so they can either download it or press play on a play bar and just listen to it. It literally streams, you know, from the Kiwi thing.
So you're still active with your, like, if I go to a view, is it A View from a Bog or blog?
From A View from the Bog.
The Bog. So if I Google that, are you still active in that, like on a daily, weekly basis?
Yeah.
No?
I said, yeah, man.
oh, Oh, good, good. Sorry, I didn't hear. It was, it went out on me. Okay, that's cool,
we
man.
We can have silences on this because, you know, Ab will just cut it out, you know, so.
Yeah. Get closer to the microphone. What? Get a new microphone. Well, I'm gonna enjoy, I'm going to, look that up and review your work. I love this rabbit trail stuff. I mean, just where one thing leads to another, one conversation leads to another. And, you know, so let me ask you this. Would you say this, the current, community that engages, you know, within this, the audio chat streams and such, has it been pretty consistent over the years with people, or do you have, like, I feel like just such a total newbie, but because I've listened to so much audio from you all, I feel like I know everyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but wouldn't you know by listening? You know the people who, you know, who are consistent and might, you know, like myself included, might disappear for a few months and come
right
back.
Yeah, man, life happens.
Sort of like a you know, like, people that come and go and do their own things, but
yeah, that's right.
We do have a common thing going on with, you know, we know the fakeology of stuff that's going on, you know, and hence we always pop around, you know.
Yeah,
and,
he's a
fakeologist, and he knows, you know, in his own thing that he's doing.
Yeah,
and the likes of me. And other people recognize that, and we see the same kind of things.
Right.
We don't agree on everything, but we do realize that there is things going on.
Well, that's what I really enjoy, is the engaged debate and the fact that, so how can I put this in a I'll just say it. It's like people aren't pussies on this site. Or, I mean, on, in this engagement, it's, people have their opinions, and it's kind of like, I don't know.
You can have your opinion. That's the thing. You're allowed to have your opinion. You
know? Yeah, that's just it. That's just it. To
right.
me, the analogy I have in my head is, I don't know if you remember the cartoon, at least over here in America, was about this old English sheepdog and a coyote, and they would, it's a cartoon, and they would go punch the clock every morning, and then they would basically, you know, play chess with each other, where the coyote would try to get the sheep, and the old English sheepdog would defend the sheep, and they would fight each other and everything. And then at the end of the day, they would punch the clock again, and by punch, you know, just check in on your job, check out of your job, and then they would walk away with hands around each other's shoulders, like, you know, hey, Bob, hey, Jim, you know, that kind of thing. And that's a little bit of what I feel in here, is that people can, you know, go into a ring and, you know, it's UFC bout time, but you come out and.
Yeah, man, that cartoon where it came from is from the same people that brought us 9/11, everything else. Gotta you know? keep that in the back of your mind.
Yeah. So, well, I don't.
I get the sentiment. I understand the idea because they understand the idea. That's why they put it in there, right? Yeah. Coyote was the guy who used to chase the roadrunner all the time, and the sheepdog guy. He's appeared in many other of their cartoons.
Right.
But gotta look at it with fakeologist eyes. You know, that's.
You gotta look at it as what? I lost you for a second.
With your fakeologist eyes, you know?
Yeah, but when you look at that with fakeologist eyes, what do you get out of that entertainment as a kid? I mean.
You see. Yes, if it wasn't entertainment, no one would look at it. If it wasn't good, no one would look at it. It's just like whatever TV shows they have today, and you can see the state of the fucking world with their bullshit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What those cartoons, they had great concepts and great ideas, but they also were getting people into the cartoons to get to trust in their.
Ah, I see where you're going. Right.
Like I can look back at those cartoons. I've taken the bits, the common sense. A lot of those things were common sense, morality plays. And then what happens is it starts getting skewered. And before you know it, we're where we are now with, I don't even watch the bullshit that's.
No, you're right. That's where there's, I turned on a bit of TV and just kind of, because I was interested in the hurricane in Puerto Rico, because I heard it just, has kicked their ass. So, and I had just recently been through Hurricane Irma, so it was just of interest to me. It's on the mind. I mean, I went 4 days last week without power and it sucked.
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Yeah, but hey man, nobody had to come save my family by a boat from our second floor window. So there's no harm here. I mean, I feel for all of these people that just have pure, utter devastation. And it just is heartbreaking. But so I turned on the TV and I went to the, through the usual suspects of, because I went cold turkey on news, 2 months ago to where I just don't watch it anymore. And so, but I was going through and I'm like, okay, there's a commercial here. Let me go to Fox News. And it's like the same bullshit from 2 months ago. And I'm just like, man, I just don't miss it. I don't miss it. And I know Ab likes to stay in tune with the media, but I just can't stomach it anymore. It's just because I can, my little bullshit detector's on and I'm like, this is so transparent now. Maybe, I mean, that's just kind of where I am. I like not watching news now.
That's the thing, right? It's psyops after psyops. And it plays right. The general public, because they're just, anyone who's still watching the TV and believing in it. And when the news comes out, right, it's one thing for people to do, fakeologist on it. It's the other people, the 99% that are actually believing this still.
Yeah.
God knows how and why, but they are. I see it in my day to day life.
Do you think it's 99% or do you think it's 99.9%?
I don't know. You see, most statistics are made up on the spot.
Sure.
99%
of them
are.
Just like mine.
But look, whatever percentage of it is,
it's a lot.
It is.
Well, my measure is I can't have a conversation that's within my head with anyone I know, whether it's a family member, friend, neighbor, colleague. I can't have these conversations because everyone will think I'm Uncle Toddy that's around the Thanksgiving table that everyone rolls their eyes and just said, cuckoo, cuckoo. So.
Well, yeah, they just don't want to, don't wake me up from my little bit of slumber that I have going on here.
Do they know they're in a slumber, yeah, though? I didn't.
But I'm just saying that as a kind of a, yeah. But I'm qualifying it by saying,
right,
a lot of these people are aware because they've had Uncle Dell or Uncle,
Todd Rose. my name's Todd.
Todd, will go on about stuff at family gatherings, and then, after a while, you get the hint. They don't want to hear it because they literally don't want to hear it. And I think unless it knocks on people's doors, people that just like yourself and me at this moment, anyway, we're talking, mm-hmm. we can actually discuss this in a kind of an abstract way, even though in a realistic way, they will look at that in the abstract and they'll go, no, mm-hmm. I'm not. yeah, you can be fucking Uncle Weirdo. I'm good getting on with my little tunnel vision of life until they come, you know, fucking, you know what I mean? I think that's general. And I think the reason why people are like that, because it's people who create the environment of people like that. Like, it's like a sort of a perfect way to shut down any kind of
right
opposition in among, you know, the people that they are in the process of controlling or trying to control.
Right. Well, I cannot lie, Del. I am so glad that there's the process of verification through this site, because honestly, you know, I have a lot of Fortune 500 clients, CEOs because that's who I sell to, is the C-suite. And I could only imagine if some of them heard Uncle Toddy, you know, spewing about all of this and my beliefs, that I don't know. I think it may impact my career even. So I'm just kind of glad there's that filter of safety so that I can feel comfortable talking about it, because I can't talk shit about any of the stuff in my head to anybody. I mean, I feel like a caged tiger.
You're not going to become a millionaire again talking about it.
Yeah, that's true. that's true. You're exactly right. You'll get over here in the U.S., people will understand, but you're going to get the Heisman if you talk about this. And, you know, so I don't, but I do now here, and I'm grateful. And, I am really grateful for you, Del, and I'm going to have to check it in. I've got one thing that might be fun for you. You can actually see me is I have a relatively famous dog, on Instagram. If you search for Zammy Pup with a Z, Zammy Pup, he is,
Are you on YouTube?
What's that?
Are you on YouTube? Have you got
a
picture?
I'm not on YouTube, but Instagram. So if you search Instagram and you put in Zammy Pup, you'll see I'm a dog guy. I have a bunch of dogs. There we go.
All right.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on fakeologist.com.
So I'll tell you, man, I'll say goodnight to you.
Yeah. It's really been a pleasure. Thank you, Del, and I look forward to speaking to you in the future.
Welcome to the Fakeologist.
All right. Take care, Del. Bye-bye.
All right. Good night, man. So I'll say good night as well. And again, I'll say thanks, Ab, for your great platform. Yeah. But the 21st of September.
Hi, I'm LSD33 from Nouveau Brunswick, and you are listening to Fakeologist audio chat live stream on fakeologist.com.